I'd like to call to order today's meeting of the Judiciary Policy Finance Committee. Today, April 28, 2004. Clerk, would you take the roll, please?
Chairman Smith.
Here.
Representative Eastland.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Blaine.
Yep.
Ellison.
Fuller.
Hillstrom.
Yes.
Hilty.
Johnson.
Here.
Lesh.
Here.
Littman.
Here.
Meslow.
Here.
Murphy.
Here.
Paymar.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
Rhodes.
Here.
Saddestrom.
Here.
Strand.
Here.
Towel.
Here.
Walls.
Here.
Chair notes that we have the presence of a quorum, so the first item would be consideration of the minutes of April 14, 2004. They are in the packet. Representative Blaine moves approval. Any questions or discussion? If not, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion prevails, and those minutes are adopted. Committee, we have House File 2640 before us. It's 10:35 right now. We need to either get through the testimony, discussion, and vote, or recess by 11:15. So let's see what we can do. Representative Davids, House File 2640. I'd like you to present. Try to do so within 5 minutes or so, if you can. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members. House File 2640 started out as the Article 1 that you have here. I'll give you a little history on the bill. The Insurance Fraud Unit was established in law several years ago, but it was not funded. So the statute said that we could have an Insurance Fraud Unit. The problem was there wasn't any money. And in the budget constraints we seem to have recently here, we realistically understood that there wouldn't be a lot of general fund money laying around. And so the insurance industry came up to the plate and said, okay, this law is already, it's already there, it's already statute, we'll fund it. We'll assess our own members and we'll fund it. And that's not really so much an issue for this committee, although since I'm before this committee, you can make an issue of anything you'd like. But that was discussed in Jobs Finance as to how this would be funded. It's gone through the Commerce Committee, and the policy was taken care of there. The funding was taken care of. The Jobs Finance Committee looked at that. In GovOps, what we did was we believed at that time we had an agreement within the administration that we could we should put in Article 2. In Article 2, which I think we will probably spend the most time on here, is moving the auto theft prevention program from the Department of Public Safety over to the Department of Commerce. Now, why would you do that? The reasoning behind that is because auto theft prevention, as it says in its title, auto theft, we're trying to prevent auto theft. Auto thefts generally are paid for by your comprehensive premium on your auto insurance policy, hence insurance fraud, which would go over to the Department of Commerce. And I was of the understanding at that time in Chairman Rhodes' committee that the administration had signed off on that. That's what we had been told, and that life was good. Now, just recently, I think, Mr. Chairman, we're going to be needing some clarification as to why it's a good idea to put it from public safety to commerce. We're not cutting the program. We're not cutting jobs. We're just moving everything lock, stock, and barrel from the Department of Public Service over to the Department of Commerce. And I have Bob Johnson from the Insurance Federation, who I'd like to make a few comments in a moment to explain why that's such a wonderful idea. There apparently seems to be some questions about should the auto theft prevention program be moved over to Commerce, and I would like some clarification from the governor's office, from both departments. And I see we have a Mary Ellison here to testify, and I'll be very interested to hear their testimony to see where they're coming from on that move. So with that, Mr. Chairman, if I could for just a few minutes, if Mr. Bob Johnson from the Insurance Federation, and we have two Bob Johnsons here today that will probably be testifying. One is, I call him Insurance Bob, and then we've got Fire and Policeman Bob. So Fire and Policeman Bob is Bob Johnson.
Where are you?
Right there, that represents, in this case, several of the employee unions for law enforcement officers, and we may want to hear from him too. But if we could start off with Insurance Bob Johnson, to explain why this is a wonderful idea.
Representative David, thank you. Don't stack the witness list any more than we already have, if you can avoid it. Mr. Johnson, give us your name and go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Bob Johnson, Insurance Federation of Minnesota, and I will focus on Article 2. I have comments on Article 1, if that's the will of the committee. They'd like some questions about the creation of the Insurance Fraud Division, which is Chairman Davids indicated was done 2 years ago. So that was a finished project that had a long list of supporters to do that. But just briefly, if I can, Mr. Chairman, on the auto theft. I work with companies that write the majority of personal auto private passengers sold in the state, State Farm, American Family, Farmers Insurance Group, Allstate, Progressive, and a host of others who strongly support. We've been the original supporters of the auto theft program. We worked hard with legislators around this table at that time to pass it, and we're greatly disappointed with where the auto theft program sits today. It's a travesty what's happened in Minnesota to consumers and to what's happened to the auto theft program. And it's our mission here in supporting Article 2 and what's in this bill is to give the auto theft program a future, a better future than it's fared in recent years. Just a reminder for the committee, and it's unfortunate. This program has lost 50% of its funding on a permanent basis. 50% of the funding is lost on a permanent basis. I was on the original board when this program was passed. The first 4 years of its operation where the full grants were available, auto thefts decreased 33% in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It decreased 33%. We were impacting, all of us were impacting auto thefts. In the recent couple years, 50% of the money has been permanently lifted and it goes into the general revenue. That's a travesty. We are required by law to tax consumers a dollar a year, specifically for auto theft programs, and only 50 cents of the dollar goes to auto theft. The other 50 cents goes in the general revenue. So we're frankly not being honest with consumers and telling them they're paying a dollar for auto theft activities. Everybody around this table has on your personal auto policy declaration page that statement that you are required to pay if you have coverage on the vehicle. And so our mission in supporting this transfer is to help the auto theft program. I think maybe there's some notion it's to diminish it, water it down, or in some way, shape, or form, not keep the commitment. We've got the commitment as an industry to the auto theft program. We're greatly disappointed. We believe Article 2 in the bill moves the auto theft program into the best place for it in state government, which is this the rest of the bill, which is funding a fully functional insurance fraud unit, which most of the states in the nation have. We do not. That's what the bill 2 years ago, the Chairman Davids, and everybody in the legislature voted for except for one. 200 legislators voted for it. There was one no vote. It's to put it in a single place with the right overall management and the best expertise in state government on insurance fraud, which is the Commerce Department. They know auto insurers. They know property insurers. They know life insurers. They know health insurers. They know the contracts. They know the relationships. They know the dynamics of the transaction. And I'd suggest to the committee that's very relevant to insurance frauds and auto theft. So, Mr. Chairman, there's a host of organizations. People probably haven't seen it. The bill that was passed, and I'll end on this, that the bill that was passed 2 years ago, when it was introduced, the insurance fraud bill is introduced in the House and the Senate. Chairman Davids had it here. Senator Scheid had it on the Senate side. The bill is introduced 2 years ago, had the transfer of the work comp fraud unit, had the transfer of the auto theft program, and it created the fraud unit. That bill is introduced, was officially supported by the Minnesota Fire Chiefs Association, the Minnesota County Attorneys, Attorney General Mike Hatch, the Minnesota Trial Lawyers Association, the Minnesota Chiropractors Association, the Minnesota Motorcycle Riders Association, all the state agent groups. I just, Mr. Chairman, end with that to indicate there is a broad base of support for a comprehensive insurance fraud issue or management of that crime, and it's a serious crime affecting every Minnesotan big time in terms of money. And we just believe that this program's got its best future sitting in a fully staffed insurance fraud unit. So I'd be happy to stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To members and to my constituents especially, if I carried legislation that the Minnesota trial attorneys supported, I do apologize for that. But members, you should have had passed out two sheets that have Davids on them. The first one, just to clarify, the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, that letter is written to Article 1. That I do not believe that has anything to do with Article 2. The other letter from the Department of Commerce to Mr. Michael Campion, Department of Public Safety, who's acting as acting commissioner at this point, that letter has to do with basically Article 2.
Well, Mr. Johnson, we'll see if anybody has questions. I have a couple for you. If I heard you correctly, you referred to the Auto Theft Prevention Board as a travesty. I think you used that word. It's my understanding between 1996 and 2002, auto thefts in Minnesota, and that's the time the theft board was up and running since 96, that the auto thefts in Minnesota have decreased by 23.4%. Would you tell me where the travesty is in reducing auto thefts by 23.4%?
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to.
Go ahead.
My reference of the travesty is what's happened to the program in recent years.
Mr. Johnson.
It was a reference to the time period
of 1996
to
Mr. Johnson, I asked a question dealing with the effectiveness of the board, not with budget decisions made last year. We heard your testimony there. Let's stick with the effectiveness of the board. Now answer the question.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the statistics are what they are. I don't have the report in front of me. If you have the report in your file folder, in the first 4 years of operation, where the full grants were available, auto thefts in Minnesota decreased. The number actually is 33% that I have on the last report I saw. I don't have it with me, though, if you have it in front of you. So that's what the program did, and that was before the funding got cut in half.
The other question I'm interested in is one that would affect the taxpayers and the citizens of Minnesota. The information I've received from the Insurance Federation of Minnesota indicates the average Minnesota family pays about $1,000 a year in higher costs and premium for insurance and other products because of insurance fraud. I see another reference to the National Insurance Crime Bureau indicating the figure is closer to $300 in total insurance premiums for the average household due to insurance fraud. Is that correct, one of those numbers, that it's costing Minnesota families due to insurance fraud? And if so, what is the right number?
Well, Mr. Chairman, they're all estimates. What I would comment on is that the first number is a number that I received, and I can go find a memo and give it to you, that was an estimate by former Attorney General Skip Humphrey as to the impact on consumers. So I use that number because at the time, and Attorney General Humphrey was also on the board of directors of the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, this national consumer. And so it's...
What would you say the right number is?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the right number. They're all estimates.
Probably several hundred a year. The insurance fraud is costing Minnesota families?
Mr. Chairman, I am confident that the 300 is a low number.
The final question I have, and then we'll go to other representatives. If insurance fraud, when you get your insurance police force established and you eliminate insurance fraud or put a dent into it, will there be a corresponding reduction in the premium rates charged Minnesota families, yes or no, and if not, why not?
Well, Mr. Chairman, and I think as you know, the costs of the product, the cost of claims dictate premiums. If the overall cost payouts go down, premiums go down. If the overall cost payouts are going up, premiums are going to go up. Is insurance fraud the only issue affecting premiums that everybody in the state pays? Absolutely not. So to the extent we impact fraud, will it have a positive reducing impact on premiums? Absolutely. Absolutely. I have no question about that. Is it going to offset medical inflation? No. Is it going to offset the inflation in body crash parts for auto insurance? Absolutely not. But it's a moderating factor, and it will absolutely benefit consumers. And they'll see the benefit of it in what they're paying out.
So will premiums be reduced?
Mr. Chairman, no.
Okay.
As a single factor, no.
In other words, no. Representative Murphy, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, You spoke very rapidly, but you said that you gave us a comparison with other states, and you said that the insurance fraud and the auto theft were combined programs in how many states, and were they all, is auto theft part of the Commerce Committee in all those states that you were talking about, or is auto theft sometimes separate?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Murphy, I will have to get to you. There's a booklet that describes all the operations of the auto insurance fraud units nationwide. I'll get that to you, and it answers the question. There's a chart that boxes off exactly what are the components of. My comment is that an overwhelming majority of states have a comprehensive insurance fraud unit. And, you know, the pieces of it do vary. So I can get that for you. I don't have the answer here as to how many have auto theft in it. There are states that have freestanding auto theft. What I don't know is that are they in a Department of Public Safety, or are they in a Commerce or Insurance, or in an Attorney General's office? You probably see, you know, combinations of that. But we can get you the booklet. I have it. It answers that question.
You give it to me, I'll read it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Representatives Fuller, then Blaine, then Meslow, then Whitman. Representative Fuller.
Mr. Chair, I'll be brief. There was just a statement made that we cut the Auto Theft Prevention Board by 50%, and I guess my question is for Mr. Carter with regards to, if my memory is correct, that originally when proposed that this program has brought in more money than was allocated or expected to bring in, so it took a legislative authority to increase what they could allocate out in the grants, and wasn't just the portion not being used put back into the general fund, so we didn't actually go through and cut the program monies that were going out to law enforcement. Am I correct?
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fuller, you are to a certain extent. I believe, and Mr. Johnson can probably correct me if I'm wrong on this, but we originally started appropriating about $1.8 million for the auto theft. It was taking in more than that. And in the 2000 session, I believe we transferred about $4.9 million to the general fund. This was in excess what was sitting in the Auto Theft Prevention Special Revenue Fund. And then in 2002, again, then we transferred, and that was a one-time appropriation. In 2002, we took $1.3 million a year, and that has been transferred to the general fund on an ongoing basis. So that leaves about $1.86 million, I believe, for the Auto Theft Prevention Program.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought my memory was so okay.
Very good. Representative Wayne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the bill, and particularly to Article 2 and to those at the testifying table, if the gist of Article 2 is just to transfer this oversight from over to the Department of Commerce, can you explain to me and to the committee how this will make a difference in this program? If that's the gist of Article 2, I'm just curious to see how you justify of the Department of Commerce being able to ensure that we're going to have full utilization of the monies received from the insured, or give me the reasons why this is such a great idea.
Well, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Chairman, at least I'll take an initial stab at that. That from our industry's perspective and being around this program from the get-go, first day of its operation, having a Commerce Department full-time insurance fraud unit, which is what the rest of the bill does, puts in place the management expertise on a day-to-day basis, a full-time insurance fraud expertise, and Commerce has comprehensive insurance knowledge, I think, to better manage, frankly, the decision-making process on what's going to be effective expenditures of the money. Knowing how Commerce operates, they have insurance expertise that's not found in any other agency of state government. And with that expertise and with the track record, Mr. Chairman, of other states that have a similar fraud unit, which has been positive, that we're confident that you can expect good results out of that structure. And I'm not here, and if it's come across that, I'm not being critical. I'm not trying to be critical, at least, of the career people at the Department of Public Safety, because when the program first dropped in there, it went to the staff that were the drug grant administrators. And I met with those people. I don't remember their names. It was positive meetings, and they were about the process of learning what an auto theft grant was going to need to be. It's my comment that Commerce, with the expertise, with the relationships in the industry, and knowing the contracts, the claim departments, the people who are directly involved in these investigations, that that gives a greater strength and base of operation that we can expect good results out of. A lot of good things have happened in the auto theft program. I've been an original supporter of it. Our mission is to keep it strong. If I'm coming across as not doing that, that's not my intention. It's to keep it strong.
President Murphy, you had a comment.
On that point, and I agree with Mr. Johnson that he has been in it from the beginning and has been a solid supporter of it. But, and I totally agree with the need for the insurance fraud division, and that indeed should be in Commerce. But I'm not sure about Article 2, and primarily because if my car is stolen or a constituent's car is stolen, they're not going to call their insurance company. They're going to call the cops. And we're going to expect that the cops are going to put out the word and find the car or find out what happened to the car. And it seems to me that that's the responsibility of public safety then.
At this time, I have three other reps who are in line for asking questions. But on that note, we're going to shift gears, and I want to ask you, Mr. Johnson, to remove from the table, and I'd ask the Executive Director at the Office of Justice Programs, Mary Ellison, Department of Public Safety, to give us some testimony on this bill, and specifically the issue that Representative Murphy alluded to, leaving the issue in Article 2 where it is. But before we do that, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to Representative Murphy's comments. Being in the insurance industry for 22 years now, I've actually had cars that were stolen where they called me, and I said, well, have you notified law enforcement? No, because they're more concerned about who's going to pay for it. I've also had death claims where the people called me before they called the mortician because they're thinking, okay, now how do I pay for this? My car's stolen. How do I pay for it? They call Uncle Greg, and Greg takes care of them. Okay, then I have to tell them, well, you need to call law enforcement. You need to call the mortician. You need to call the church, whatever. So, yeah, you'd think most people would call the cops if there's a theft, but it goes both ways. And that's where the question is here, because Commerce and public, there's some overlap in here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mary Ellison. I'm Executive Director of the Office of Justice Programs, and we administer the Auto Theft Prevention Program. I'm here to say that from our vantage point, it doesn't make sense to transfer the auto theft portion of this program to Commerce. I have been involved in the transfer of grant programs several times during my history with state government. And although on the face of it seems like it should be just a simple thing to transfer a grant program from one agency to another, it actually is a very complex operation. It ultimately results in a breakdown of service to customers. It is an involved process. My understanding initially with this program was that the reason that the insurance industry wanted to put it in Congress was to create, in Commerce, was to create a fraud investigative unit. And that just came to me via a conversation that I had with then-Commissioner Stanek. It was our understanding that the whole focus of the program was going to change. We saw legislation that created the fraud investigative unit, and then we saw legislative language to transfer the program. When I inquired about transferring the grant program, my understanding was that they were going to leave the existing grants that we have in place as they currently are for another year. And part of that had to do with the fact that we enter into two-year grants. So we have all the money encumbered. We have all the grant programs in place, and they're all due to end on 6/30/05. So then my understanding was after 1 year, the thrust of the program was going to change to a fraud investigative unit. So then our request simply was that we be allowed to keep the grants until the current contracts expired. That way we wouldn't have to lay off the equivalent of two staff people that we have assigned to this function, and that then the program could change focus during state fiscal year 06. For whatever reason, that it could be a deficiency on my part, I did not understand until yesterday that it is not the intention to change the focus of the auto theft grant programs, that the that the purpose is to pretty much leave the auto theft prevention grant programs in place as they are, and then in addition to create this fraud investigative unit. And so for the reasons that I have stated, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us to transfer the programs. I had conversations yesterday, and we do administer law enforcement grants. We work with police officers and prosecutors' agencies all over the state. So we certainly have expertise in working with law enforcement agencies and prosecutorial agencies statewide. It is true, however, as Mr. Johnson said, we are not experts in insurance fraud. And so certainly that part of the issue makes sense to me. With that, I would answer any questions that people have.
Representative Murphy on point.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Ellison, what about how a CRIMNET work between if this bill is passed as it is, how a CRIMNET work between public safety and Department of Commerce? And also, have you thought about any of the data privacy parts to the auto theft prevention program, if that would change at all under the Department of Commerce? And Department of Commerce has some, I understand they have some privileges that the Department of Public Safety doesn't have as it applies to records of employers. Is there, in the conversations about this bill, has there been any of those topics covered?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, to my knowledge, no. In terms of CRIMNET, that, when it's fully functional, will be a statewide system, and so that would operate with anybody that has the authority to enter into the database, the various databases that will be operational under CRIMNET. So it shouldn't impact CRIMNET. In terms of data practices issues, I'm not familiar with how the transfer would change those issues. Certainly, we are not in the business of creating an insurance fraud investigative unit. That's not our intention. And originally, my understanding was that this money was going to be taken for the insurance fraud investigative unit. The whole purpose of the program was going to change. So I wasn't going to speak in opposition to changing the whole focus of a program if that's what the industry and the legislature wanted to do. Again, my understanding since then is that the grant program is going to stay pretty much intact. And that's the part that doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. Representative Davis, do I understand now that Article 1 creates this new initiative for, it provides funding, and this insurance fraud initiative. And Article 1, if Article 1 was passed without Article 2, you would still be able to go ahead with your initiative, right?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, that's correct.
We're going to go to representatives, since they're on the list, Maslow, Littman, and Waltz, and then Representative Waltz, I believe you'll have an amendment to propose. Representative Maslow, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Ellison. The confusion that I've got here is that we move from talking about auto theft and then we start talking about insurance fraud, and I'm not sure where that line is. Do we have any information as to whether cars are predominantly stolen by strangers or whether this is something that is a fraud issue where the policyholder is reporting the car stolen and it's not? Because that seems to me to be helpful in deciding where the responsibility should lie.
Mr. Chair, Representative Meslow, the trends that we see is that auto theft is primarily a crime of opportunity. You know, people are present and they have the opportunity to steal a vehicle, and they don't have, they're thinking that there's probably not much chance that they're going to be caught, and so they do that. Certainly another trend is that they're using a stolen vehicle as a way to purchase drugs. Vehicle identification numbers, switching is increasing. Certainly gangs stripping cars for profit. Those are the sorts of trends that we're seeing. We are not seeing, in terms of the grantees that are reporting to us, the fraud part as a primary motive.
Representative Davids, excuse me, Representative Meslow. In Article 1, you're not just talking about auto insurance fraud. You're talking about all insurance fraud.
Yes, insurance fraud, period.
And in Article 2, we're talking about an auto theft prevention board.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, so like Representative Murphy's question about, or somebody has asked some question about when the car is stolen. Well, then the program didn't work. We're talking about auto theft prevention. We're trying to prevent it. Once there's been a theft, then it's a whole new realm, and it goes into law enforcement, it goes to insurance, it goes to wherever. So there's a little, you might think that's a distinction without a difference, but there is a difference there.
Representative Mesler, are you done?
I am. Thank you.
Representative Lippman, and then Waltz. Representative Lippman.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Ellison, you wouldn't disagree that if the state of Minnesota were interested in combating other types of fraud for insured goods, whether it's homeowners or property or other matters, that the Department of Commerce would not be expert in any of that, notwithstanding the fact that they're not sworn peace officers. You don't have any problem with us combating illegal conduct through the Department of Commerce in these other aspects that touch upon fraudulent and illegal behavior, do you?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lippman, that's very fair. I think that they're the best people to do that.
Okay, and if they're the best, what we have to decide is whether automobiles are somehow different than those other types of insured goods, such that a completely different department of government can be the only one to administer grants in this regard or make plans in that regard. Is that the testimony? Is that the question that presented this committee?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lippman, that would be correct.
Anything further?
For Chairman Davids, if I might, just briefly.
One question.
Following on the Chairman's inquiry about the downward pressure on premiums if House File 2640 is going to be amassed, House File 2640 doesn't convert the Commissioner of Commerce into the shadow who's able to see into the hearts of men and thereby defeat all insurance fraud. It's rather that we're able to increase our batting average as far as detection and therefore put a downward pressure. But we don't have any designs or illusions that we're going to be able to eliminate insurance fraud entirely. Is that correct?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Lippman.
Representative Davis, you can try a yes or no, but go ahead.
As far as what you said, if there's any commissioner can do it, we have the one that could do it.
Fair enough. Thank you.
That being said, also to that point, we have to remember, members, that the auto theft insurance, that's covered on your comprehensive premium. So when the question is asked, will your rates go down? Well, I would argue that, yes, your comprehensive insurance rates would go down as your medical goes up and your liability goes up and your collision goes up. So would there be an overall reduction? Probably not. Would there be a reduction in that small part of it? Yes, there would be.
Before we go any further to Mr. Representative Waltz, Mr. Johnson, 1 minute of testimony you need.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Bob Johnson, and I hope to do this possibly more than 1 minute, but less than three. I'm here today in a capacity, in a very unique one, in which you have had a very healthy discussion regarding the clients that I represent. I represent Teamster Local 320 law enforcement across the state of Minnesota, that on a day-to-day basis deals with the issues of whether it's any of these, auto theft, insurance fraud issues, workers' comp problems, or whatever. The law has been broken. Police are involved. I also represent the Minneapolis Police Federation, the largest law enforcement agency in the state of Minnesota. I also represent the Peace Officers Alliance of Minnesota. And secondary to that, I represent the Minnesota Professional Firefighters, which were mentioned earlier by the previous Bob Johnson. We understand that the legislature in recent years has had to take on a changing society, whether that is an issue of the meth lab problems, whether that's the issue of arson and how that interacts with the Department of Commerce and insurance issues. We certainly support these specialized programs, and we recognize the need for them, and we often come to the table and speak on behalf of them. However, in discussions with the Insurance Federation, Bob Johnson and Greg Davids, I want to go on the record as saying we've had some very good discussions prior to this hearing today, that we are not just showing up at the 11th hour. I'm not here necessarily to even say that we totally oppose this legislation, but I have to speak about both articles, because what you are doing is that the enabling legislation regarding insurance fraud was established 2 years ago. Today you're considering the funding of that, but the funding is to fund police officers. And I want to be very clear on behalf of the clients that I have mentioned, that we want these to be full-time, post-board, certified police officers, that the chief who is established in this bill not only be linked to the Department of Commerce, but to the Department of Public Safety, that we are dealing with criminal statutes in the state of Minnesota, and the Department of Public Safety has the overall charge of that. We recognize that the insurance industry has expertise, but that as we move forward in time and you debate more and more specialized police units, will you then next year be creating a unit in the Department of Agriculture of post-certified police officers? And what we want to make certain is that the structure itself be as best as possible. We all have the responsibility to serve Minnesotans in that capacity, whether it's the cop on the beat or whether it's the auto theft prevention. Let me just speak real quickly about Minneapolis police and its prevention efforts. We believe that the program is working well. We have been a recipient of $200,000. We have decoy autos with special undercover units, and they have done an outstanding job. They work as well with Hennepin County law enforcement, and that record also speaks for itself. I do not have the statistics today, and I don't know if it's a travesty. It was previously announced. But I do know that we have concerns primarily about the structure of the insurance fraud unit in Article 1. In Article 2, it is this committee's responsibility today to determine whether that best be kept in the Department of Public Safety or moved into Commerce. I can tell you that our preference would be to remain in the Department of Public Safety, but again, I think that's a policy decision that you as legislators have to speak of today. But in closing, I want to thank the committee. I want to thank Representative Greg Davids. If you don't know it, Mary Ellingson has done an outstanding job for the state of Minnesota and law enforcement and public safety and fire in this state in terms of administering the multitude of grants. You're just talking about one today, but this office represents all the federal monies that come in, the state monies that come in, and as she testified, it's a very complex issue. And when you transfer these grant programs, you need to have your eyes open when you do it. I stand for any questions, Mr. Chair, and I thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Representative Waltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Johnson, you kind of said what I was going to say, and I wanted to comment to Representative Davids that if your bill does survive and make it to the House floor, maybe we could work on something that would give public safety a place at the table when it goes to dealing with the police chief or the chief of this state-run organization, this law enforcement organization. I think that's important. I know the Commissioner of Commerce would do a fine job, but I think we're talking about a state police agency. I think DPS should have a hand at the table a little bit in that. Maybe we could come up with something between now and the House floor that deals with that, and something that also deals with the training criteria, because this is so specialized. I would hate to see an effort in the future to water down the post board requirements for this division of police as opposed to watering down what the rest of us have to do to maintain our licenses. Maybe we can work on that a little bit between now and the House floor. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the A5 amendment to delete Article 2 from the bill and leave the auto theft prevention program with DPS.
Discussion on the amendment. Discussion. We're at the discussion stage. Representative Davids, go ahead. It's your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this point, we have not on Article 2 reached peace in the valley, and I'm a peace in the valley kind of guy, so at this point I would not oppose the amendment.
On the amendment, if there's no further discussion, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed, no.
No.
Motion prevails on the bill, House 2640, as amended. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, has the post board been asked to talk about Article 1?
I apologize. Start over.
Has the post board been asked to talk about Article 1, or did they testify in other committees?
Representative Murphy, on that point, the post board is represented here today. She's sitting towards the back. This Article 2, it's my understanding, was based on legislation we did consider in committee and pass in, 2000 and... Well, help me out, Representative Davids. Article 1 was previously passed through committee and heard, and I believe the Article 1 now is based on that language.
Correct.
So I think that it has been through, from what I have researched, been through committee.
Okay.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Just to that point, just to clarify, Representative Davids, it is your intention, even if it's in Commerce, that this agency would be headed by and staffed by full-time post-licensed officers. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's correct. If you go to page 3, line 5, subdivision 2E, that describes it would be a peace officer employed full-time to be the chief law enforcement officer, and it goes down. And there's no language of watering down any requirements for post.
I just want to clarify that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, I believe the chair has previously moved 2640 that be recommended to pass and be referred to Ways and Means mm-hmm. Committee. Now House File 2640, as amended, is before the committee for discussion. Representative Lesh.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, or question maybe for anyone from Public Safety as well. My question is, who we're looking to go after in Article 1? I had a question from a citizen when they saw this bill was up. The gist I got was that citizen is probably claiming a different address and a different zip code in order to receive lower insurance rates on their auto. I noticed when I changed my last primary residence, which previously was only 5 blocks away but was in the zip code that included Frogtown, when I moved to my new residence, my rates dropped dramatically. I'm wondering, is this primarily aimed at those individuals who are filing false claims? Is that the lion's share of the individuals we're going after? Or can it be, in terms of auto, some small potatoes areas, who people who are cheating the system by claiming a different address?
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, it would be all-inclusive. I would hope the fraud unit would not spend a whole lot of time on change of zip code or did you put your youthful driver on or those types of issues, because they're pretty good at checking those things out right now. What we're looking at more is where someone would fraudulently make a fraudulent claim. We're looking at breaking up rings of people in the medical profession that are working with people that are, you know, signing false claims to get huge awards. And that's happening today. And I would hope that we wouldn't be spending a whole lot of time on the small stuff and go after the bigger stuff, white cheating in life insurance, different things you can do to defraud insurance companies. But it would all be included.
Further discussion on the bill? If not, House File 2640 as amended be recommended to pass, be referred to committee on Ways and Means. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion prevails. Representative Davids, I think you should talk to Representative Holberg about possible data privacy concerns she may have with regard to Article 1
okay.
to avoid circular trips in and out of Ways and Means. Seriously. At any rate, there's no further business before us. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you.